This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, thanks for tuning in.
Kia ora, everyone.
We are back in the studio together for the first time in a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I was pretty much out of...
You're on holiday
for all of February.
Lucky. Yeah. Actually finding summer somewhere.
It was good. I feel like I soaked in enough sun to keep me going.
Yay.
Until maybe midwinter.
Yeah.
Where the seasonal depression will grasp me once again.
But it's kind of crazy how beautiful it is at the moment in March. It's like the new summer in a way.
Yeah, or which is good. I was hoping, I was like, it's got to come at some point.
Yeah.
And it has.
Finally. Better late than never. Yeah, so today we're just actually having a bit of a random chat about what we've been reading.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about three books.
We are. So I'll do my first one, which is, it's called Ordinary Saints by an Irish author called Niamh Ní Mhaoin. And this is her debut novel. And I think it came out last year, but I actually forgot to check the year. I remember seeing it hitting the shelves last year, so I'm guessing.
Is that how you ended up reading it?
Yeah, I saw it at the university bookshop and it has a good cover. It's like bright green and pink with a sort of saintly image on the front.
Very
and I was
nice.
Like, queerness, religion, it's like speaking my language.
Good cover.
Yeah. So the story is set between London and Ireland and it follows Jay, who is a lesbian woman estranged from her very devout Catholic family. And she's grappling with the news that her late brother, Ferdia, who was known as the Little Saint since his childhood, who then headed off to the seminary but then sadly died in an accident, might be getting canonised, so turned into a saint. Ní Mhaoin, the author, was inspired by the true case of a teenager called Carlo Acutis, who was being heralded as the first millennial saint, which is quite an interesting thing to deep dive into if you're looking for something to research this Saturday. And she really took that spark of reality and I feel like breathed something really explosive into it. I thought it's not just a straightforward book about religion or sainthood. They really dive into like who gets to tell our stories and about the weight of memory, especially when someone dies really young and the people left behind sort of attempt to mould them into something really perfect. And so they become almost unrecognisable. And you're sort of dealing with Jay's struggle to reconcile her love for her brother with the mythologising of him by her family and the church. And I found that really devastating and she really beautifully draws all that out. It's sort of talking about like what happens when institutions co-opt grief and who do we become in the process. So yeah, it's a lot of really interesting things explored in it. And I really like Jay, who is one of the most compelling narrators I've read in a while. Kind of reminded me of the characters in Chosen Family by Madeleine Gray, who I talked about earlier this year, I think. A character that's really like quite difficult and flawed. So I really enjoyed being in her head, even though it was difficult to be there.
Yeah.
Like quite a lot of the time. And I just really liked the family dynamics and how they were, well, they were really hard to read, but it was like, I thought they were written really beautifully. There's a moment towards the end of the novel where Jay sits down for a talk with her father and they reveal things that they've never spoken about before. And I felt it was written so well that it really jumps off the page and you feel like you're just watching it happen right in front of you. And also Jay's really taut relationship with her depressed mother is really deftly written. And you really feel the tension of it in your body when you're reading it. It's like the glimpses into these buried family secrets feel really real because you can tell that they haven't been buried due to any contrived mystery. It's just simply never occurred to any of them to talk about it to each other. Which I think is so like real of like so many families where it's just like, yeah, so many things that you just don't talk about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really recommend this book. It deals with pretty heavy stuff. So avoid if, you know, you have religious trauma, or read if you want to unpack it.
Where is it set? What country is it?
So it's set in Ireland.
In Ireland, sorry.
Mostly, but Jay is living in London now. She's sort of, when we start the story, she's separated from her family.
Oh, okay.
Due to being a lesbian. But yeah, so sort of her coming back together with them through this process of her brother, her parents trying to turn her brother into a saint.
Okay.
Which is also really interesting to read about. I didn't really know much about the process. So yeah, just, I really recommend it. A really good read. I read it quite fast. But yeah.
Because it was good.
Yeah. Just really compelling reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another, yeah, excellent Irish writer then.
Yeah, another one. Because they've been all hits, no misses for me.
Well, they have such a good support network in Ireland for writers. They realise that they can tax, because of Sally Rooney, basically, like how much tax she pays on her, you know, massive hits.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there was a Irish writer here, Nicola Flattery, last year during a residency, and she came to our EMA class and was talking about, yeah, just how wonderful the setup is in Ireland.
That's great. I'm glad to hear one country is like.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome because, yeah, there is so much amazing writing coming out of there.
Yeah. I just feel like, yeah, I'm always, when I see an Irish novelist, I'm like, I want to read it.
I think there's a thing called, I think it's called Stinging Bee, like magazine there, that a lot of them come through that. Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I think it's called Stinging Bee. Cool. So I am going to talk about a book called The House of Doors by Tan Thuong Eng. So I came across this because a member of the Athenaeum Library recommended them. So this is their most recent book, and it was longlisted for the Booker Prize in 2023. Other work by him. It's funny because I didn't actually know their gender when I read it, and it wasn't until I was going to talk about it on the radio. I was like, okay, who is this person? I was like, oh, okay. Because I kind of almost thought that the author was female, actually, because of how the female characters were handled.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, they're a Malaysian novelist who writes in English. So the novel reimagines an event in Penang that inspired a famous Somerset, I'm not going to say his name correct, Moreham story. You know, W.S. Moreham?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So he's he wrote a short story called The Letter. It's a complex book to talk about, actually. So for those of you who don't know who W.S. Moreham is, he was born in 1874. He's an English writer known for plays, novels, and short stories. He often would meet people in society and then, like, they would end up in his stories. So I think people were a bit wary of him.
Yeah.
And he was queer as well. So The House of Doors is made up of complex narratives. So one of them, the first takes place in 1911 and the second in 1921, the year that Willie, which is Somerset Maugham, so I'll just call him Willie. It's easier. So he comes to visit these two characters, Leslie and her husband Robert, in Malaysia in 1921. And he suspects that Leslie has this secret. And, you know, before he arrives, Leslie's husband Robert's like, be careful what you say to Willie, you know, because it will end up in a book. But she ends up revealing this story to him, which was set in 1910, which is the second narrative that threads throughout the book. That's sort of the most interesting part, is the second narrative, which is set then. And it's based on a woman called Ethel Proudlock, who was convicted of shooting and killing a man who attempted to rape her. And that was a man that she was may or maybe not having an affair with. So her trial, so this actually happened in history, and it's what W.S. Morgan's short story is based on. So her trial pointed to a deeper story, one that lifted the lid on a culture that spawned it. So Proudlock was a member of the Kuala Lumpur expat community, a conservative outpost nicknamed Cheltenham on the equator. Her rumoured infidelity combined with her concealed mixed race background made her an outsider. So the killing was sort of almost seen as like the least of her crimes. So it really delves into that and the trial, which, I mean, the trial wasn't like a huge part of it. But within this, Willie also sort of gets to a crux of another part of Leslie's secret. He thinks that she's had an affair with this revolutionary who's also a real person based in history. But yeah, it's just incredible, incredible storytelling. And the first narrative set in 1921 is sort of about Willie and his secretary who have come to stay. And, you know, it sort of dawns on Leslie quite soon that he's not actually secretary's lover and long-term partner. But then it sort of makes her have some revelations about her own husband. So they're, you know, they've got two sons, but they're grown up and live in Paris. And yeah, there's just like amazing descriptions in it. And yeah, I couldn't put it down, actually. It was a really fantastic read. Yeah, I've taken this from somewhere. It says these communities. Yeah, it's also just that era of time of colonialism in that part of the world. Like, I don't know much about it. And it was interesting because it's the 1910 part is set obviously before World War II and World War I, and just how that changed. People who are more proficient in history will know about that era is, yeah, quite a fraught time because it's, yeah. Anyway, so it says these communities are made up of white people who have next to no interest in the people and the culture of the country they are living in. They seem to spend much of their time romanticising home, i.e. Britain, and having affairs. It goes without saying all of them are dangerously, sometimes vindictively, caught up in the business of others. In particular, it's the woman who had little to do in these foreign environments. So yeah, Tan also writes about such diverse subjects as the history of China leading up to the 1911 revolution, as well as the difficulties faced by being a creative writer, which is, yeah, based on S. Morgan. So the story is sort of told through Willie and also through Leslie.
Yeah.
And there's parties and there's swimming. And, yeah, it's really very rich, beautiful book. And, yeah, I want to read the other book, which is something called The Garden of Evening Mists, which I just bought for the Athenaeum.
Cool. Yeah, I haven't heard of either of those, but that sounds like an amazing book, actually.
Yeah, kind of, you know, like movie blockbuster.
Yeah, opulence.
But it was a lot of people reference that murder from Ethel killing this man. So, and you know, there's sort of stories of that her husband made her do it and all this stuff. But she actually got a pardon in the end and moved, but she had to leave the country and moved to the UK and had a divorce. But yeah, it was sort of like, is she going to get hung? Or, I mean, that's not really like ruining the story because, you know, really it's history.
Yeah. Spoilers.
But yeah. So that's The House of Doors, by the way.
Ooh, I definitely want to read that one. I love when there's a book that delves into an area of history you don't know much or anything about. It's like my favourite way to sort of start off learning about it. And you're like, oh.
Absolutely.
And do all these little, like, I don't know, investigations branching off from that.
Especially this one because it's sort of, yeah, the problem with colonialism. And, yeah, just kind of like, oh, my God, the reach of it as well.
Yeah.
In that time. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. That said about, like, yeah, British people, European people moving to these foreign places and then just not recreating what they're used to. I'm like,
and not having any interest in the culture that they're in, which is sort of what sets this character Leslie aside a little bit because she can speak the language and but she's brought up there as well. But yeah, it's really interesting.
Cool. I'll definitely be reading that. So my second book that I read recently is called House of Day, House of Night by Olga Tokarczuk. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. I watched some YouTube videos.
Yes, I tried to do that as well.
Which is hard to find one because a lot of them it's just her starting to speak. I'm like, no, please introduce her.
And she's Polish.
She's right? Polish, yeah.
It's such a hard language to pronounce.
Yeah, and she's the winner of the Nobel Prize for Literature in a recent year.
Yeah, what's something, plough your... The Bones of the...
Drive Your Plough of the Bones of the Dead.
Thank
is
you very much.
Probably her most well-known one, and also Flights was really popular. Yeah. I've read Drive Your Plough of the Bones of the Dead, and I loved it. It was probably one of my favourite things I read last year. So it was exciting to jump back into her writing, which I find she's just such an interesting writer. So this was translated by Antonia Lloyd-Jones, and I actually think this was the first book of hers that was translated into English. So this was first published in 1988 in Poland, and then it was translated into English and first released in the UK in 2002, so quite a while ago now, but then it's recently been reissued with a very lovely cover. Mm. And I think you have it in the Athenaeum, don't you?
We do, yeah.
Yeah. After her Nobel Prize and everything. And I loved this. I loved Drive Your Plough with the Bones of the Dead, and I think I like this even more. So this is a novel, but it's kind of more a patchwork of loosely connected, like, disparate stories, sketches and essays. So it's what is called and what the author calls a constellation novel, which is an expression or thing I really like. I can't remember what she said. It was like, I should have written it down. It was like lots of different dazzling parts combining to make up a whole. So it's sort of about life past and present in Nawaruda, which is a Polish village in the Sudetes, near the Polish-Czech border. This book I thought felt really alive. Like, it felt like it was like breathing. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, when you read something, it's told in all these different fragments, which at first, getting used to the style, felt a bit disjointed for me, because I've been reading just a lot of like pretty straightforward fantasy romance novels over the summer holidays. So it was nice to dive into something really different, but it did take me a little bit to sort of settle into it. But then it wasn't long before the underlying structure started to reveal itself, which is sort of held together by a first-person narrator who's a woman who comes to live in the small Polish village with her partner, who's just referred to as R. So that's 3 years before the novel opens, and she's talking about her life in the village and particularly the relationship she develops with her neighbour, who is a somewhat mysterious old woman named Marta, who I really enjoyed. She sort of appears and disappears with the seasons. She's possibly immortal, possibly invented, possibly both. She tells stories about people who may have lived, may have died, or may have been stitched together from rumours and dreams. So she's just a really fascinating sort of magical character. Mm-hmm. So this book is quite, it's like magical realism.
Okay.
Book.
Is that like her other books? Are they also in that sort of?
Yeah, genre? This did remind me a lot of Drive Your Bones Over the Plough of the Dead, but it's almost even more. I guess this is more, if you didn't like the woo aspects of Drive Your Plough, you might not like this one. Like, all this, that she talks a lot about astrology. Have you read Drive Your Bones?
No, I haven't read it.
There's a lot of like astrology chat in Drive Your I'll just call it Plough. Okay. In Plough, which I really enjoyed. Like, it's pretty fascinating. She obviously, the author, has such a depth of knowledge about it. And this is sort of along the same vein. It's like a similar, like, this like really intriguing old woman character in a small village and all the things that happen in it.
I'm like, I'm going to recommend this to my friend Cookie now because she's so into horoscopes.
And this one is a lot. I loved this book as well. Instead of not so much horoscopes, it really leans into dreams. So there's often like people's dreams are like told as stories throughout the novel, and then it's sort of referred to in conversations. Like, it's like, did it happen? Did it really? Did it not happen? Like, was it a dream? Like, it all gets tangled together.
Is that not a bit? When you say dream, I'm like, oh no, warning bells.
No,
you know,
I found
how
it,
it's like dreams can. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. It's more. It's really the magical realism side of it. Of like the. What's real and what isn't.
Okay.
It kind of tangles together. You're never quite sure. It's quite a hard book to explain, like, because it's so disparate. But yeah, I think she really brings everything together in a really beautiful way. Definitely won't be for everyone, the style of writing. But yeah, if you like a book that has lots of different threads to untangle, I wholeheartedly recommend it. How
come they reissued it? Do you know?
Probably because of the success of her other translations.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Because you said it was published in...
2002 is when... Yeah. Oh, no, 2002 was first translated into English.
And oh, so then, it's got a new translator.
I think it's the same translation as well.
Yeah.
Which is, I have to say, such an amazing translation. Like, the language in the novel is so incredible. It's the sort of... I found this in Plough as well. It's like you have to put down the book for a moment and just, like, think about a particular word or phrase. Like, she just has such an amazing way of writing and, like, stringing words together. And it's just, she's probably one of the most exciting novelists I've read in a while, and I can't wait to read all the rest of her stuff now.
Yeah, great. I'm going to... It's checked out at the moment at the Athenaeum, but, yeah. Because I got it because someone was asking after her other stuff.
I just, like, put it down. I was like, I need to read everything.
Yeah, cool.
She's ever written now, which is great because I think all of it's now translated into English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What age bracket is she? Is she, like, she's been around for a while? Well, I guess
I would
she would
say
have
maybe 40s.
If she'd been published in the 2002. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she still looks pretty young in the videos.
Yeah.
I've watched of her speaking. But cool. Yeah.
Oh, I have to check it out. So, yeah, we've had some exciting things happening at the Athenaeum Library lately, which some of you might have seen. So Black Star Books in Murray Place closed down, I think officially in 2023, but it was sort of a slow closure. So some of their zine collection has gone to the Hocken, or will be going to the Hocken, and then the other part of it has come to the Athenaeum Mechanics
Institute.
That's
so exciting.
Yeah, so it's really awesome. So we've got this new section now, which anyone can come in and have a look at these zines. And I've just been looking through it this week, and there's so much wonderful stuff there. A lot has come from, like, I found a whole cluster of stuff that's sort of from 2010, 2011, all sorts of stuff down to, like, dental hygiene to Christchurch earthquakes to babes, zines, and, yeah, it's
amazing.
Really, really
I
cool.
love zines. Such yeah. a great way to get a snapshot of, like, this moment in time or, like, communities.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? To celebrate, we're going to have an event at the end of April. So we're just confirming details on that, but it should be on the 24th of April, but we'll be sharing more details on that. Have a few speakers about that building because it's a really interesting history as well, where Black Star Books was based. The Corso Collective, I think, is what it used to be called. Maybe it's called something else. Because the chair of the Athenaeum, Tony Ear, he used to be involved in that in the 70s as well. Oh. So it was really interesting to find that out. It should be quite informative evening, but also, yeah, quite fun.
Oh, exciting.
That's yeah.
We're going to do an event.
And then we've got a few other things coming up this year. We're going to do the National Poetry Day again, and also the Zine Festival. We're going to be involved in that as well now.
Awesome.
Now that we've got this little pocket of zines.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't need to be a member to come and read them. We're also increasing our hours at the library. So after Easter, which is in like 2 weeks, I think, we're going to be open on Fridays as well from 10 till 2, which is similar to the other days.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a few changes. We'll be back here in a fortnight.
Yeah. See you then.
Some more exciting books. will they be contemporary? Will they be
who knows?
Old books? Who knows? Cool. Have a good weekend.
Bye. Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.